No, I'll take great exception with that. I'm not being paid by anybody to say stuff. I'm a human being. I put my opinions on the internet, and sometimes I don't get things banged on, right? I will hold my hands up. If I've been a hypocrite about something, I'll go, yeah, absolutely, that's fine. But if you then turn around and accuse me of being some sort of behind-the-scenes corporate shill with an agenda, then quite frankly...
Welcome to That Tattoo Show, a weekly YouTube chat show and podcast.
In a magazine format.
It combines feature conversations,
how-to guides and personal stories
into about 45 minutes of solution-based entertainment
for tattooists of all levels.
Streaming everywhere, every Sunday.
Anyone can teach you to tattoo.
And that's why That Tattoo Show is all about all the things you have to learn.
Afterwards, we're here to offer professional advice and insight to help you find the best gear.
And understand and navigate the often difficult world of being a professional tattooist.
And everything that comes with it.
I'm Paul.
And I'm Chris.
Welcome back. I hope you're having a nice Sunday so far, or Monday, or Thursday night, I guess, whenever it is that you're watching us. Thanks for being here. If it's your first time here, thanks very much for joining us. And if it's not, thanks for coming back. In this week's conversation, we're going to be reading some of your comments and answering some of your questions and responding to some of the things that you've had to say about the show over the last couple of months. This is the first of two warnings that I think it's only fair that I give you, because during the conversation, Chris does read a comment that does upset me slightly, and I get a little bit ranty and a little bit sweary. So if you're watching this with your kids in the room, this is the first of two warnings. The next one's going to be your last one before the sweary, ranty bit that you might want to, at the very least, mute. It'll be very clear when it's coming because the comment is on screen, and maybe want to just mute the sound or put the kids out the room. So that's coming up in a little bit, and I'm sure it's fun for everybody except for me. I've also got another little bit of tattoo history for you. This week, it's Sutherland MacDonald, a very famous English tattooist. I think the first English tattooist to have a registered shop. He was also the inventor of the term tattooist as well. So that's coming up. But first, Chris has got the news for you. See you in a bit.
Welcome to the new segment. I got sent a reel the other day where there is apparently a place in Australia called Ink and Drink. And that is where you can go in, basically get pissed and practice tattooing. And I just look at that and think to myself, like, what if I can do that, you know, with dentistry? Can I go to a dentist and go, right, or set up a, go to a bar and be like, practice doing fillings on people? Like, I just don't understand how you can practice tattooing and get pissed, which makes a mockery of our industry, but you can't do it to any others. It just blows my mind. What do you think of it? Have you seen it? Do you think it's bullshit? Or do you think it's perfectly acceptable to set up a business and have people come in and make a mockery of what we do because we are professionals? So yeah, that's that. Fucking bullshit, like. There's a new book coming out called The Pioneers of British Tattooing. This is a 250-page book that is going to be available. I'll put the link to their website below. Is it tells the story of the evolution of electric tattooing as a profession in Britain and the characters who played a pivotal role in its development. So I'm very much looking forward to seeing what this is like. And if you are a tattoo collector or a tattoo enthusiast and you love tattoo history, this could be something that's worth looking at. Price-wise, you're going to be looking at £90 for the book. Definitely worth having a look on the website. The ARX machine that has just been recently released. I've been testing that machine out. First impressions, first few weeks of using it. Really, really good machine. And it does make you beg the question, like, how other machines are charging so much more money when other brands are able to make really good quality machines at a more affordable price with more stuff in the box. So far, it's got a massive thumbs up from me. I've done an unboxing video. Check it out. If you haven't seen it, check out the new Dune movie. It is absolutely banging.
Like many of the earliest exponents of Western tattooing, Sutherland MacDonald learnt tattooing while serving in the British Army in the 1870s as a telegraph operator in the Royal Engineers and was in the Anglo-Zulu War. In 1894, Sutherland MacDonald became the first professional tattooist in Britain, operating in a salon out of Hammond Turkish Baths at 76 Jermyn Street in London. In Victorian England, working as a tattoo artist was unheard of. In fact, in 1894, the Post Office Directory, the Yellow Pages at that time, had to add a new professional category for his listing. Thus, the word tattooist, a combination of tattoo and artist, was coined. MacDonald remained the only professional under the category for 4 years. While tattooing was going on, there is no evidence of another professional studio in Britain at the time working on paying customers, explains Matt Lodder, lecturer at the University of Essex. After James Cook's trip to the South Pacific, where the crew was exposed to Polynesian tattoo culture, tattoos began to trickle into society, growing in popularity throughout the years. Tattoos were becoming increasingly popular with the European elite after Britain's King Edward VII and his son were tattooed in Jerusalem and Japan, respectively. MacDonald, who started off using hand tools and then graduated to an electric machine that he patented in 1894, had his share of celebrity and aristocratic clients. He's said to have tattooed several of Queen Victoria's sons, as well as the kings of Norway and Denmark. A pioneer of the industry, his tattooing process was ahead of his time. Not only did he use an electric tattoo machine, he also printed outlines of tattoos and transferred them onto his clients' skin using ink, a process we call stencils today. In 1894, he was granted a British patent for a tattooing machine, patent number 3035, although it may have had too many moving parts to be practical. However, in an 1895 article, A Chat with a Tattooer in The Sketch, a reporter describes MacDonald's use of a modern tattoo machine. He refers to it as a little instrument which makes a somewhat strange whirring noise and commented that it is used as easily as an etching pen. For nearly 40 years, crowned heads and famous people climbed the narrow staircase in Jermyn Street to visit MacDonald and to leave bearing some of the most wonderful ornaments ever placed on human skin, wrote George Burchett in his 1953 book Memoirs of a Tattooist. A well-spoken, intelligent and gentle man, Sutherland MacDonald made friends of his customers, who treated him as an equal. And as nice as a story and compliment that is from Mr. George Burchett, the claim may very well be a myth. MacDonald is also thought to have pioneered the use of blue and green in his work. All told, Sutherland MacDonald is a historic tattooist who helped pioneer the art form, helping elevate it to a respected profession. He died on the 18th of June in 1942 at his home in 3 Guildford Avenue, Surbiton, and he's buried in the Surbiton Cemetery. Let me know what you think of these history episodes. Am I doing an all right job? Would you rather I used that 5 minutes to talk to you about something else? If you've got any suggestions, you know what to do. Drop them in the comments down below and I'll see what I can do for you. This is that point in the show that I warned you about at the top of the show. This is the second and final warning before we get into this week's comment section. There is a section of it where I do get a bit sweary and I do get a bit ranty. We've bleeped some of the very bad swear words because it does get quite bad. So we've bleeped out most of them, but there's quite frankly, there's so many, it would have took us 3 months to edit the show. So if the kids are in the room, might be time for them to go and do something else, go and play Minecraft or something. Or put your headphones on, or just mute the TV, I guess. Don't mute it until I've finished talking. In case you were wondering, me and Chris read all the comments, and when you get a response on the show, it's either myself or Chris typing. We don't have a team of people that do that sort of stuff for us. It's always me and Chris. We read the comments, we discuss them, and sometimes we don't discuss them when we just respond. And sometimes, like, what you're about to see, I don't even see the comment because it was held for review because the comment had sweary words in it as well. So it came as a bit of a surprise to me. Proceed with caution.
It's time for your comments. Okay, so I start. You ready to rock and roll?
Yep. Here we go. What we got?
First one, this made me laugh, this is, because, and I think this is down to an uneducated understanding of how machine history and how machines work. On the Killer Bee Type F video that we did, it says Kanan.tattoo. Who is a purple handed preacher? What's happening, dude?
All right, mate.
They said 15 volts, lol, trash. And I disagree with you. Like, there's got to be an understanding of like the time that this machine came out, batteries weren't a thing. And
yeah,
the types of motors that were being used were newer generation motors. And to get an older, yeah, to get that enough torque and power out of those, they had to run at a higher voltage. If you look
what
at,
was this time period? Period? What was this? This was about a 5-year time period, wasn't it?
Because when the Flight V2 came out.
So the Flight V2, then there was the Flight Nano, there was the Killer Bee. I'm sure there was a couple of other machines.
The Flight V2 and the Killer Bee probably came out around about the same time.
There's an English builder that was using the same motor as well. He was up in Stoke at the time, and I was Wayne Taylor was using the same motor as it.
It was
good. English builder, Wayne Taylor, yeah, actually.
But it was what's good for the time. It's like, yeah, those were the fucking top end motors. And yeah, at that time, people were using power supplies. And if you look at a lot of coil machines, some coil machines do run at 15 volts. And
yeah, but for context, in case you weren't around for this, these are motors that basically don't start until 9 volts.
Yeah.
So they have to see 9 volts before the motor will even start running, right? So, which if you've got, you know, a power supply,
it's no issue. No,
it's no big deal, right? Most of the power supplies at the time, I don't know if power supplies still do this, but certainly the power supplies I was using at the time would do 22 volts.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they'll go right up there, you know. So what all you had to do in order to make it seem normal was, this is how I used to explain it to people. I was like, just take 9 off the number that you're looking at, because you'd be lining on 17 volts.
Yeah.
And like, if you come from coils, 17 volts sounds like madness. Like, you know, because you got a line on 5.4. What are you lining on? 17. Like, yeah. Are you mad?
So the numbers were scary, and people.
But it's like, take 9 off it, and then you're actually what you're lining at 8 volts. Now all of a sudden that sounds about right now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, totally. But the thing is, it's like the comment they're saying is trash. It's not trash. It's just what the motor
is. It's of its time, you know. Yeah. It's like,
and it's still a good motor. It still fucking works, yeah, really well.
The only problem with those machines is, like, we've had this conversation a couple of times. Like the Flight V2, the Flight Nano, the Killer Bee, the Wayne Taylor's machines from that era. And I'm sure there's a couple of other people.
The Flight
that use
Nanos,
them.
They run at lower voltages.
Though. They would run on lower, yeah, voltages. But with all those machines, they were from a time when, you know, like, batteries were not on the horizon. That was not coming. And so the thing about these motors, they were tiny and really, they're really, really shallow motors. They didn't have big bodies on them that would get a lot of weight off the back of the machine, which would pull the machine forward, which was going to make it better. And it's just where machine builders were building at the time to try and find the optimum,
yeah,
place for rotaries.
It's also as well,
you know, like, I liked them personally, but I wouldn't use them now.
It's also the progression of motors and, yeah, the, yeah, brushless motors. Now, they've progressed over the years. So, yeah, like, if you look at, say, for example, the AKSM1, yeah, and the new Cheyenne Sol Novas, they've got those little teeny tiny Fall Harbor motors in.
Yeah.
Brushless ones.
All good.
So,
all good.
They run at a different voltage range to that. But, you know, Killer Bee, the guy, Richard, he's brought out a new motor for the Killer Bee, which, yeah, runs at a more battery-friendly option. But... Yeah.
I mean, I think the machines from that era now, they're, you know, and the Killer Bee, unfortunately. I don't agree it's trash, but I do agree, is it a machine that you'd have in your drawer and not use very often? Probably at this point in time, unless you're going to run it on a power supply.
Yeah, if you run a power supply.
Yeah, you'd be okay.
Like, I still have a feeling, like, I just think, like, that wireless tattooing has got a lifespan, and I don't know if people are going to end up switching back to just using power supplies. And I think that's going to be down to the pricing of it all. I think people are getting to a point now where it's just like, you're getting too much with the pricing, so it's probably going to be more cost effective just to fuck off the batteries and go back to a power supply.
It's
unless they standardise everything. Like, yeah, I've said this loads now. Like, out of all of the shit that I've tested,
yeah,
the magnetic connection system that they have on the criticals, yeah, is the best option out there. And unless they all standardise to that, say, like, VAT fitting,
yeah,
it's kind of, people are going
to
get fucking...
I'd like to see the critical with a removable power cell.
Yeah, that's the other thing as well.
Because when my criticals start not holding a charge for long enough to do a full day of tattooing, and I've got to replace them again, You know, they're all like the V3 battery is about 279 now. Yeah. I think it's about 279.
Electric Inc. in Brazil.
Yeah.
They've brought out a battery. I don't know if it will fit the Critical. I'll have to check with them. But they brought out a battery that fits on a magnetic connector and has a removable battery.
Well, I think
if
people start adopting the Critical connector and then start using external cells that you can change, that would probably prompt Critical to have to look at it. You
know what I mean? Actually, if I come to think about it, I can't mention who's doing it, but somebody that we've done a review of one of their batteries might be working on something like that, actually.
There you go. So, something like that, I'd like to see. That might keep us wireless. I've got to admit, initially I wasn't that fussy about the wireless thing, but now, having used them for a little bit, do you know what? They're all right, man.
Yeah.
Like I just think there's a lot of benefits to not having that cable in your way.
Definitely,
left-handed.
Definitely a lot of benefits. But I think, you know, if you use, for example, like the Flux, right? Like, that could be a fucking amazing machine, right? The only thing that lets it down is the battery and the battery life. You know, like...
Do you know what you have to do with the Flux to make it awesome? Is you have to take it all apart, throw it all away, buy a load of parts from Cheyenne, assemble them, and make that machine instead. And then it'd be awesome. But it would be a Cheyenne pen.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a rattly piece of Miami-built plastic shit.
But I honestly think, right...
Just my opinion.
Just his opinion. No, but I honestly think, right, if you take the battery off it, right, you've just got a foil hub motor and a metal casing, a couple of changes they need to make to that. They need to be able to make it so we can...
A couple of changes, all of it.
No, like, just take... So we can take out that, like, plastic section. Piece of piss to do, you just unscrew the plastic bit on the underneath.
Yeah.
So it's one screw, that's all you gotta do, and we can swap that out and maintain it ourselves. Then we don't have to pay for a fucking ridiculous fucking service plan or whatever, insurance.
That's the thing. That's the thing that'll kill the wireless movement, because it's all moving to pen machines, because it's easier to do that with a pen, make it wireless. The non-user serviceable side of things is going to be the fucking problem.
That's going to piss people
because
off.
That's already starting to be, like, from talking to a lot of you guys, is that's already the big bugbear, is this right to repair. Like, we should have the right to repair.
Yeah.
Like, you even touch some of these machines and it's like warranty voided.
Yeah.
Now that's not how it should be. You should like, because I'd get it if it was like, if I'm taking my fucking camera apart, right? I can't fix that inside. I've no idea how that works. But it, like, a tattoo machine is not as complicated as a laptop or a camera or something.
The Flux is such an easy machine to take apart.
Let's be honest, they all are. It's basically, it's a prison rig with a fancy case around it. They ain't hard, you know what I mean?
But what I'm getting at is, like, if they made the Flux and it had the same magnetic connection system that's on, like, you know, the Bishop Power ones.
Yeah.
The new Numa.
Are we reviewing that? Have you got one yet?
No, I'm supposed to do it.
Come on, hurry up. Let's get a new Numa.
Critical Torque, you know, all the other ones, and especially this new Prime machine. That means, like, they say, like, five machines on the market with the different variations that have that system.
Yeah.
If...
Drop the battery out of it as well.
Yeah,
I think that's got to happen, so we can keep the housing, swap the batteries, that'll keep the life of the battery better.
But, like, look for me, for example, right? I don't mind using the Flux. I think the Flux is a nice machine to use. I've used it for a lot. I get on with it, right? The battery fucks me off. The battery fucking does my head in. Now, I would much rather be able to put that Critical V3 battery or Musotoku battery on that using the same connection. Like, it's got to be, you know, interchangeable.
Yeah, it's got to be.
But so
that would make sense, because, you know, your power supply was interchangeable, so it makes sense.
So basically, 15 volts isn't trash, right? But a battery that runs out after 24 hours of not being used, that's fucking trash.
Yeah. No, 15 volts is just, you know, 2005 tattoo machine, unfortunately.
Oh, I got a good one for you. Next comment.
Oh, here we go.
Ah, this is off your tattoo gear and how you can trust it. That tattoo show, episode 149.
Okay.
The Lone Ranger's mate.
Tonto.
Yeah.
All right, Lone Ranger's mice.
You use a Chinese battery grip, you fucking hypocrite. Absolutely self-righteous pair of arse lickers. I'm not into women, sorry, mate. It's not my thing, like. That's better than you.
So okay, poor... hang on. Can I just,
you use the...
You use a Chinese grip, you fucking hypocrite. Do you know what? I agree with you.
You know, I agree with you about that bit. So let's do this in 2 hours.
There's
2 hours.
There's 2 hours. You used.
You use a Chinese. So he's obviously, no, you're obviously referring to me. You're absolutely right. It's fucking hypocritical to talk about avoiding shit Chinese products if you if you're using them yourself. You're absolutely fucking right. Completely agree. That's why. And anybody on this channel that came to Brighton and saw me tattooing will confirm to you that I don't use them anymore. I used them up until the point that I did the research into the Chinese counterfeits and clones episode. And quite honestly, I did so much research into dodgy Chinese electronics that it made me concerned enough that I actually no longer used them. What I did was I went out and got myself a new tattoo machine, because as much as I like the Rotary Works, there's no elegant way of making them wireless without using some form of battery grip.
Yeah.
And currently there's no battery grips that are legal for sale in this country. There's nobody's done CE marks and UKCA marks for them. So yes, you're absolutely right. It is fucking hypocritical. And the moment I got to that point, because it's hypocritical if I use them after I've told you not to use them. But actually, when I got to that point, I stopped using them because, quite honestly, I'm not worried about being called a hypocrite because I actually worried about blowing my fucking hands off. So I don't use them anymore. And I went out and bought Critical Talk because it just ticked all the boxes. So on the one side of that comment, I agree with you and absolutely hold my hands up and go, absolutely, that's fucking right. The other part of your comment is fucking bullshit, you c***.
I was going to say, is there anything wrong? Are you, like, what's wrong with being self-righteous, like?
Well, because if you're self-righteous, if you better, like, so you don't do what I say. You know, just do what I say, but don't do as I do. I can behave however I want. I get that. That's fair enough. The other part of it, whose fucking ass am I supposed to be licking? What you're suggesting there is that I'm being paid by somebody or being given some sort of incentive by somebody to say one thing and do another. And quite frankly, fuck you, you fucking cunts.
And on that note, this week's episode is sponsored by Critic...
No. No, I'll take great exception with that. I'm not being paid by anybody to say stuff. I'm a human being. I put my opinions on the internet, and sometimes I don't get things banged on, right? I will hold my hands up. If I've been a hypocrite about something, I'll go, yeah, absolutely, that's fine. But if you then turn around and accuse me of being some sort of behind-the-scenes corporate shill with an agenda, then quite frankly, fuck you. That's bullshit. Like, if you've got a point, then make it. But if you're going to add an insult, then fuck you. That's bullshit. Yeah. Right, moving on.
Right, this fucking one is dick. This is just for people that aren't a member. If you are not a member, you will know about this. But if you are a member, you will know about this. You will know. What the fuck am I on about? It's been a long day. Anyway, we are doing a giveaway for people who become members of our channel, because obviously we don't get paid. We're trying to fund it ourselves because we want to do lots of fucking cool shit.
Yep.
Anyway, we put up an announcement the other day. We're going to do a giveaway. It's like, what, 7 boxes of disposable grips?
Yeah.
Something like
that. Tattoo machine, bunch of other stuff. And we're going to add to it as we go along. Yeah. I think...
This is what they're saying. We got a comment on our video the other day, Barbara DTS Tattoo Supplies.
Yeah.
They said, good episode, guys. We would like to provide an Eternal Ink top 25 colour set to the members giveaway.
Good set.
So let's get these boys to 100. So thank you, Barber DTS, for contributing to the fucking giveaway.
So you get a Bishop Power Wand, 25 Eternal Colours.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good set as well. It's a good
Skulling
good,
caps, which skulling is fucking caps. Shit.
Fucking amazing.
Shit.
They are shit, actually. Like, they're really, like, just have one on your shelf. Like, if you have a look at them, there's about that much room for ink. They're a fucking waste of time.
They should call them the bottom out caps, because you'll always fucking bottom out here.
They're going to be the mag killer. Fear is the mag killer. And we got a bunch of, like, grip covers and everything. And I'm sure there'll be other stuff as we go along. And so thanks, Barbara, for getting involved. Yeah. And
on the topic of fucking ink caps, right? Some of the fucking ink caps that are out there now.
They really upset you. No,
they're getting fucking ridiculous, man. Like, I have seen some ink caps lately, right? I'm genuinely looking at it thinking, like, how the fuck am I even supposed to get a 27 mag in that?
Yeah.
Like, you got people with, like, they got, like, heart-shaped ink caps. Like, it's just a fucking holder for ink. Imagine if bricklayers were like, oh, check out my fucking, my new trowel. The handle's got a skull on it. And the fucking, the metal bit, whatever the fuck it's called, is the shape
did
of
you
a
ever
heart.
Did you ever steal the, because we used to steal the sauce pots from McDonald's for the Macs, for the Big Macs. You know, because everybody talks about the Big Macs, like 35 and 45 mags have been this brand new thing, right? Like, Big Macs have been around a really fucking long time. There were people making like 100 and some mags.
Yeah, they'd be up for years. Know,
way back. But the problem was they didn't fit in nothing, right? So one of the favourite things to do was you go to McDonald's. I'm not sure they do this anymore, but you could go into the McDonald's when it was a restaurant and they'd have a sauce station.
Yeah, they
still have
the sauce ones.
And they're like, little, like, kind of paper mache.
Yeah, but you meant to pull them on the sides and it opens up into a little plate.
Right, see, if you leave them as they are, and if you nick a stack of them, you can use them for ink.
Yeah.
But they're a bit like them eco ones. You've only got a certain amount of time before the fucking ink's all over the counter because they're porous.
Thing is, have you heard about stuff with all, like, you know, paper straws and, like, all the paper fucking ink caps?
Please don't get me started.
No, it's come on now. That it's like actually, it's probably more fucking toxic to drink through paper straws in McDonald's with all the glue and stuff in there than it is with plastic.
But also,
what dangerous do you have?
Well, I mean, you're better off just getting a stainless steel straw yourself and just taking it with you everywhere. Because then, if you're a tattooist, you can clave it every now and again. You'll be all right. So that's what I do because you've got straws. I'll show you. Actually, I've got a really good hack for how to make wash bottles.
Oh yeah, with the straw.
You just need a straw and a blade. You know, don't go anywhere, particularly to tattoo conventions without a blade. You know, just tip for survival.
That's the case, like the commenters.
Just in case the commenters him, like, turn up and go, hey, we'll have
you,
a
Paul, you call me a c- you call me a cunt.
Do you know why I called you a cunt? Because you are.
Yeah. So, yeah, but ink caps, fucking bullshit they are. They're stupid shape ones. It's just, like, fucking stupid.
I think they're fun, but they are pointless. They're an absolute waste of time. If you like wasting your money, buy some.
This is it, like, the...
What would you have if you could have a complete... Let's just say we're going to have a complete waste of time. We're getting them made for the show. We're going to have a complete... Because I think we should do this, right? We should get my head and your head ink caps.
I know.
It'd be amazing.
I know. I would have one that looks like a vagina because only cats use them.
I think it'd be all right. There you go. Never mind. Right then, moving on.
fucking hell. All right, so this one's actually quite interesting. This is actually on our After Hours episode, which is for members only.
Members only After Hours.
So this is my current shit gripper. Sorry, Noel Hodson. What's happening, dude?
All right, mate.
Met him a few times at convention.
Yeah,
he's a good laugher. He said, my current shit gripper is people selling tattoo designs that aren't tattooists. I've had a few people come to me with fine line designs that won't last a year or microscopic handwriting. I've had to redesign every single one and explain how skin doesn't work like paper. I just think they're robbing the public and the industry. You're right. You're right.
Absolutely.
It's like...
Do you know what I think? This is a problem we're all having at the minute, right? Our job is being encroached on from every fucking angle by everybody. So AI is making everybody an artist. So everybody makes tattoo designs. Everybody's got a fucking T-shirt band. Everybody makes logos. So everybody does branding for AI products. And, you know, all these companies, it's cutting artists out. Every left, way, right, left, every direction. And it's becoming almost impossible. Now, musicians will know this because this has been happening to musicians for...
Millennia.
It's been happening for at least 10 years longer than us as artists. They've been suffering this. And it's getting to the point now where, you know, it's almost impossible to make a living as a musician. And I'm hoping that we stem this tide before we get to that point where... Because, you know, I know a few artists already that can't make tattooing pay the bills anymore, that are having to go and get.
But it's not even that. It's not even in tattooing. Like, we had some in the shop the other day. It's like plasterers,
yeah,
painting and decorators are all having to stop doing what they're doing because they can't afford it. Yeah. But my theory on that, and I suppose this will work, it's probably play out the same as well, where you've got tattooists who charge £1,200 a day, for example, yeah, right? Now, these painters and decorators, during lockdown, everybody was spending money doing their houses up, and, you know, they were like, oh, we're fucking, the money's rolling. They stopped putting their prices up. I had someone telling me the other day, they got charged like fucking, or price, sorry, £15,000 to do their bathroom. And I was just like, are you fucking mental?
Right.
£15,000. It's like, it probably, to do a bathroom, you could probably, you know, a decent sized bathroom, you could do for £5,000.
Yeah, definitely.
And what's happening there in that industry is people are doing it themselves.
Yeah.
Fucking off the trades people. And then where you've got all these artists that are charging £1,200 a day, they go in, well, to be fair, there's someone on the road that does work just as good as you, and they charge half the price. And that's what's happening with the tattoo industry.
I think a lot of industries are feeling it.
But with...
Like, getting squeezed from every angle, it feels, yeah, to me. Like everybody's kind of squeezing it and pushing. Like, all the... Not really the tattooing. I think the tattooing will always be safe because it's very hard to automate, and it's very hard to, like, fake doing it, right? But every other bit of the outside edges of our job are all getting taken off us,
yeah,
all the time. And I think we've kind of got to try and protect it, which is why I'm telling you about things like glazing and nightshade, yeah, and stuff. We've got to start fighting back a little bit.
I feel sorry for people.
Using the tech against the tech people.
Yeah. Like, in regards to, like, you, let's just say we call them TikTok tattoo designers, right? Because that's, yeah, where a lot of it stems from. It's like people on TikTok that are... illustrators are basically doing like these fine line style or single, like, you know, single pen line style designs.
Do you think this is something that rolls downhill? So
no, but
what I'm saying is AI, 9 million jobs in America at risk or gone. Those people are now unemployed.
Oh, they're designing our
so then they go, well, maybe I could make a bit of money designing tattoos.
Yeah, probably.
So then they might not be they're doing it to survive, right? So then they're doing a few tattoo designs. They don't really understand, but they go, well, I kind of know how they look because they're trying to make a living. But then that fucks us. And then we need all of our gear to be a load cheaper. So that fucks the suppliers. And all of this shit just rolls downhill. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I get what you're saying here. But what I'm getting at is, like, it's the frustration, right, of... somebody is paid somebody or bought a design off somebody, it's advertised as a tattoo design, and then they come into you and you go, I'm really sorry, but that is not, yeah, suitable to be tattooed, because, yeah, and then you go through all the reasons, you're like, those lines are too close together, it's too small, this, you know, after a while, this is what will happen to it, and you'll end up with a black blob, and you've basically wasted your money, and now you've got to pay me to fucking redraw it so it looks tidy.
Yeah.
Because obviously, if you've paid somebody for the design...
See, I think the consumer should be able to go back to the artist. Say they come in and you've got, okay, look, I can tattoo this, but I need these 19 changes need to be made in the original art. Would it not be fair for the consumer to go back and ask the artist, like, you've sold me a design to be tattooed?
Oh, yeah, that's what it should be.
I've spoken to a professional tattooist. It's not tattooable. I need these 19 changes making. And I think then, at least you haven't had to redraw it, right? Yeah.
So you're right. They've paid for a service.
They've paid for a service. They should be able to go back and go do it properly.
It's basically like going to McDonald's, ordering some French fries, and then just them giving you a potato in a cardboard box. Yeah. Like, do we? It's not suitable for the job. Can you fucking cut them up and cook them for me, please?
Yeah, and that's it for comments, is it for this time?
To be fair, we would have gone
we've had enough
fucking
rant. We just go on forever and ever and ever. This has been That Tattoo Show, and it's been your comments. And for the most part, I've enjoyed them. It is what it is.
It's getting old, it is, and grumpy.
Getting old and grumpy. It is what it is. So this has been That Tattoo Show. I've been Paul.
And I have been Chris.
And tell the lawyer, tell the judge, tell the priest, tell the Lone Ranger that his mate's a fucking... See you later. Take care, guys.
Oh, fuck it.
That Tattoo Show is made possible in part with the help of all of our friends.
So thank you to Rob from Electrum, to Perry from Total Tattoo Magazine, and to our growing band of executive producers, the Purple Handed Preachers. We can't do this without you, and we appreciate every single one of you. So on behalf of myself and Chris, thank you all sincerely for your help. We really do appreciate it.